Some of you will be pleased to know I'm not going to start showing finance spreadsheets on the screen. On that day that I did do that, I said that finance was my second favourite thing to talk about. My favourite is Jesus. So I'm glad to be able to preach to you today. I don't think the songs we sang could have lined up any more perfectly with what I want to share today. So that's really nice how God weaves a service together. I want to start off by sharing with you what God was speaking to me about a few weeks ago at a CTF event. I think it was Pentecost Sunday. We were praying, if you were here, we were praying constantly for different sections of the community and praying into that need. We prayed for education and all sorts of other areas. And as we were going on and on and on, my heart just kept getting more and more broken. And God just spoke to me and said the words, "It's not enough." Because we live in a world at the moment where food banks are running out of food and can't support people, where mental health provisions are not enough for people. But what God said after that is that He is enough. We alone are not enough to solve these problems, but thankfully we serve a living God who is enough. He's more than enough. So I just want to unpack that today with you. Firstly, I want to look at David and Goliath. It's probably a story that most of you have heard hundreds of times. When was the last time you actually read it? I read it this week for the first time in probably a few years. And it's just a very interesting story. I'll give you a bit of background. That's all right. A bit of background from where I'm going to pick off. So at this time, the Israelites are at war with the Philistines. And they have this one massive giant called Goliath who's basically come out and said, send one fighter to fight me. If he wins, then we'll all be your slaves. If I win, you'll all be my slaves. So it was a 1v1 battle. And David, at this point, is a little shepherd boy visiting the army to deliver food to his older brothers. If you struggle to picture that, at the fun day, we had a gladiator battle, and Lucy McCarthy, who's about that tall, challenged me to fight her. So that's probably the difference, was David and Goliath. She did win. I did let her win, perhaps. I think the words are going to come up on the screen. If you want to follow along, it's 1 Samuel 17. Sorry, it's a long one, but I want to read it all. 1 Samuel 17, verse 26 to 51. David asked the soldiers standing nearby, "What will a man get for killing this Philistine and ending his defiance of Israel? Who is this pagan Philistine anyway, that he is allowed to defy the armies of the living God?" These men gave David the same reply. They said, "Yes, that is the reward for killing him." But when David's oldest brother, Eliab, heard David talking to the men, he was angry. "What are you doing around here?" he demanded. "What about those few sheep you're supposed to be taking care of? I know about your pride and deceit. You just want to see the battle." "What have I done now?" David replied. "I was only asking a question." He walked over to some others and asked them the same thing and received the same answer. Then David's question was reported to King Saul, and the king sent for him. "Don't worry about this Philistine," David told Saul. "I'll go and fight him." "Don't be ridiculous," Saul replied. "There's no way you can fight this Philistine and possibly win. You're only a boy, and he's been a man of war since his youth." But David persisted. "I've been taking care of my father's sheep and goats," he said. "When a lion or a bear comes to steal a lamb from the flock, I go after it with a club and rescue the lamb from its mouth. If the animal turns on me, I catch it by the jaw and club it to death. I've done this to both lions and bears, and I'll do the same to this pagan Philistine too, for he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the claws of the lion and the bear will rescue me from this Philistine." Saul finally consented. "All right, go ahead, and may the Lord be with you." Saul gave David his own armor, a bronze helmet, and a coat of mail. David put it on, strapped the sword over it, and took a step or two to see what it was like, for he had never worn such things before. "I can't go in these," he protested to Saul. "I'm not used to them." So David took them off. He picked up 5 smooth stones from a stream and put them into his shepherd's bag. Then, armed only with his shepherd's staff and sling, he started across the valley to fight the Philistine. Goliath walked out toward David with his shield bearer ahead of him, sneering in contempt at this ruddy-faced boy. "Am I a dog?" he roared at David, "that you think you can come at me with a stick?" He cursed David by the names of his gods. "Come over here and I'll give you your flesh to the birds and the wild animals," Goliath yelled. David replied to the Philistine, "You come to me with sword, spear, and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Today the Lord will conquer you, I will kill you and cut off your head. And then I will give the dead bodies of your men to the birds and wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. Everyone assembled here will know that the Lord rescues his people, but not with sword and spear. This is the Lord's battle, and he will give you to us." As Goliath moved closer to attack, David quickly ran to meet him. Reaching into his shepherd's bag and taking out a stone, he hurled it with his sling and hit the Philistine in the forehead. The stone sank in, and Goliath stumbled and fell face down on the ground. David triumphed over the Philistine with only a sling and a stone, for he had no sword. Then David ran over and pulled Goliath's sword from its sheath. David used it to kill him and cut off his head. Thankfully, Lucy didn't do that to me either when she beat me. So in this passage, what we see is David get told that he's not enough. He gets told that he's not enough by his family. He gets told that he's not enough by the king of Israel. And then he gets told he's not enough by the enemy. Perhaps for you, you have family that don't support you or tell you that you're not enough. Perhaps your boss at work might tell you you're not enough. The enemy will try and attack you, and he will convince you that you're not enough. He will try and separate you from God. Without God, you're not enough, and you won't accomplish what God has for you. But with him, you can accomplish anything. What does David do when he's faced with a giant? Firstly, he remembers what God has already done. Verse 36, "Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear." I don't fancy my chances against a lion and a bear. I think David had a lot of help from God. I can just about manage to kill the spider in the bathroom. How often has God been faithful to you? The answer is always. How often has God abandoned you? The answer is never. And yet, if you're anything like me, when you're faced with a giant or you start to worry and fear, you forget all those previous times and you start to doubt God. I'll worry, I'll get anxious, and it takes me far too long to remember what God has already done for me. It would save me a lot of time if I just straight up remembered what God has done. Secondly, and most importantly, David puts God first in that situation. In verse 46, he says, "Today the Lord will conquer you, and I will kill you." David kills Goliath and acknowledges that it's God, not David, that has conquered the enemy. I like to brag when I win a board game. It's the best thing ever. But actually, in my victories in life, it's never me that's done it. It's God that's done it. He has, if I put him first, he will succeed. The lesson to learn from David here is remember God and put him first. Whatever problem or giant hits you hardest, whatever makes your heart heavy, maybe it's mental health, maybe it's poverty, whatever it is, alone you can't beat it, but with God you can. A couple of my favorite verses is Joshua 1 verse 9. "This is my command, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." And I think if you remember that verse, you'll start putting God first in those situations. The second point to pull out is that we need to have patience. Patience is a fruit of the Spirit, and it's probably the one I struggle hardest with. If you've ever been in a car with me, you'll know that I get road rage quite quickly. I live about 2-minute drive from work, and I still get road rage in that 2 minutes. There are a lot of slow people in Folkestone. Too often we get bored of waiting for God to do something. We want answers immediately. But what we need to do is just wait for God. When we're faced with a giant or a problem, we have to be patient and not take things out of God's hand. Why? Because we're not enough, but God is. The Bible is full of people who take things into their own hands. Gareth preached on Jonah last week, who took things into his own hands. Abraham and Sarah started to doubt God's promise for them, and Abraham had a child with Hagar. When we get impatient, we can start doubting God. God's not a genie. He doesn't grant wishes. He answers prayers. And sometimes that's not immediate. We won't always see breakthrough immediately. Sometimes we won't even see breakthrough in our lifetimes. Again, at the CTF event, we sang the song, "Do It Again," which starts with the words, "Walking around these walls, I thought by now they'd fall, but you've never failed me yet." And the lyrics for this come from Joshua 6. It's about the fall of Jericho. God told Joshua to walk around the walls every day for 6 days and then 7 times on the 7th day. Joshua and the Israelites were walking around, and if that was me, after day one, I'd be like, right, that's enough now, come on, like, hurry up, please. But they didn't doubt it, and they kept going. And then on the seventh day, after the seventh time, they shouted and the walls came down and God gave them the victory. To them, what that probably felt like was a continuous thing, and 7 days probably felt like quite a long time. We'd probably be quite happy with a seven-day answer to prayer. Breakthrough isn't always going to be something massive like that, though. The small victories are just as important as the big ones. So those two points are a bit more about how situations and actions are not enough without God. My third point's a bit more personal. At the CTF event, God also spoke to me further about how the worldly events were not enough. And then he hit it home by telling me that I wasn't enough. At first, that was quite hard to hear. I'm a bit of a perfectionist, and I like to think I'm quite independent. Jordan might disagree. But as I dug deeper, as I prayed to God, and I said, what does that actually mean? Why am I not enough? I realized that it wasn't a criticism. God wasn't putting me down. He doesn't do that. He lifts us up. What it actually was a releasing of love. It was a call to let go of my burdens, let go of my insecurities, and let go of my worries. It was God saying, Josh, you're not enough alone, but with me and for me, you are enough. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Jesus didn't die so that we'd be burdened. He didn't die so we'd be worried. He didn't die that we'd be anxious, and he didn't die so we could have insecurities. He died so that we could have life and life to the full. This wasn't just God talking to me. It was a message for all of us. In a minute, we're going to take communion together. Take some time to pray with God. Let go of your ego. Let go of your pride. Surrender yourself to Jesus. Surrender your anxieties and your fears. 1 Peter 5, verse 7, cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Cast all your anxieties, not some of them. Give your burdens to him. I love Jesus because he does something that no one in this world can do. He forgives my sins and he restores me and he makes me enough. Jesus loves you too, and he'll do all of that for you if you ask. I'm going to pray. Are the band doing another song? Yeah, I'm going to pray and then take your communion at any point during the song. God, thank you that you died for us. Thank you that with you and through you, we are enough. When we get heavy laden and burdened, we need to turn to you and be patient in that. I pray that you release people, including myself, from anxiety and fear and worry. Amen.